You know, I doubt if we really appreciate the freedom that we enjoy. And that's one thing is I want us to stop for a minute. You know, one of the things I learned about what's called exegesis is when you're trying to get information out of the scripture, you have to be careful about reading your own context into the scripture. Okay? You know, when Paul is saying something or when Jesus is saying something, whoever, you know, what is it that they mean by what they say? Not what do I think they mean by what they say. And in their culture, what would it mean? Now, from there, we translate it to our own culture. But first, we want to try to understand them. We get out of their culture what they mean. And one of the hard things about trying to do that is we're taught to try to forget our own culture. You have to try to immerse yourself into the culture of the time, which, of course, would even be different for Abraham. I mean, that was thousands of years earlier. Well, it's really hard to get yourself out of your own culture. It's hard for us. You know, we're swimming in it, right? I mean, it'd be like a, you know, telling Dory to imagine being outside the water, right? You know, it just doesn't really happen. I know in the cartoon it does, but it doesn't really happen. You know, what is life for a fish without water? Not much, right? Yeah, short. And a big part of our culture is the freedom that we enjoy. You know, we're free to go around wherever we want, right? I mean, all kinds of people are gone today. I mean, some people are probably home, but many people I know are away, right? They're traveling, visiting family. Becky came up here to see us, and now she's down in Harrisburg visiting Liz Humphrey, and then my mother and brother. She's coming home later this evening, and, you know, she didn't have to get anybody's permission at all. She crossed multiple state lines, and nobody cares, right? She didn't need any special papers. I mean, we get to do what we want for the most part, right? You know, as a job, you can get a job where you want, what you want to do. On your free time, you can do pretty much whatever you want. You know, we're free to speak our minds. Even if people don't like what we say, we're still free to say it. Even if our government doesn't like what we say, we're still free to say it. You know, with how much we abuse our political leaders of all stripes, okay, there aren't many countries you can do that. Like we do, right? I can say great things about President Trump or terrible things about President Trump. You may only like some of what I say either way, but the government really can't stop me. And you have the same right. There are lots of places you don't get to do that. We're free to criticize our government. We're free to own powerful weapons. Well, that's a bizarre freedom, okay? And some of you may find it bizarre, right? I understand that. But it is a very specific freedom that we have, and it is different from almost any culture. I know my son-in-law, who is German, just doesn't understand that at all. It's just not part of German culture. I don't know if it's part of Spanish culture, like in Spain. I don't know. But in Germany, that just seems really, really bizarre to him. And it just, he can't get it because it's not part of his culture. And you know, we are free to live out a Christian lifestyle, and we are free to live a very immoral lifestyle. And it cuts both ways. You know, there are plenty of countries in the Middle East where you are not free to live a Christian lifestyle, and you're not free to live an openly immoral lifestyle. Right? You know, for all the bad press that some of our states get because they aren't really grand on the LGDB rights, you know, going to Saudi Arabia and try to have a gay pride parade. Okay, it'll be really, really short. And you will not survive. I mean, they kill people. I mean, you know, we talk about how horrible we are. They kill people for that. No, I don't agree with that at all. It's amazing the freedom we have. And we ought to stop for a minute and just appreciate that a little bit. Plenty of the freedom is under attack, but freedom is always under attack. Freedom has been under attack since before our country started, and it's been in the history of our country is trying to work this out and trying to keep freedoms and specify them better and all those kind of things. I mean, it's a difficult process. But we can be thankful we enjoy freedom like nobody else. By the way, you know, I really think one of the problems people have with Americans is they don't understand our freedom. They don't understand how we could live the way we do. Because people just don't get it. Now, that's not everybody, but... And you know, as free as we are as Americans, how much more free are we as Christians? Something else we tend to take for granted, I think. You know, we have freedom in Christ that cannot be taken away from us by anyone ever. You know, we could be thrown in jail in the most oppressive society that has ever existed in the world. I don't know what that would be, okay? There have been plenty. We could be thrown in the worst jail in the most oppressive society, and none of those Christian freedoms could be taken away from us. And I wonder if we appreciate then our freedom in Christ. For instance, we are free from death. Romans 4:25 tells us, He was delivered over to death for our sins, and when it's raised to life, our justification. That's He, Christ. You know, we were made to live forever. Made to live forever in communion with God. Separation from God and death are not natural for us. You know, when I talk to some people who are struggling with serious health issues, and to die is gain, and that's absolutely true. But people struggle with, but I want to cling to this life. Okay, and I think we should. That's natural. We were made for this life, but it wasn't made to be a fallen life. Right? Adam and Eve were made to never die. If there was no sin, you could walk, well, you might have to take some other vehicle. Somewhere in the world, Adam and Eve would still be alive. Think about that. You know, Cain and Abel would both still be alive. And everybody else. Wouldn't that be wild? You know, of course, I mean, there would have been no flood, so that would be different. Okay. There wouldn't have been any need for a flood, but, you know. Anyway. Death seems so unfair because it's not right for us. We were made for something better than that. But because we trust and follow Christ, death has no sting. And that's the difference that we have. We don't need to fear death. We don't mourn like people who don't have hope, and we don't fear death. Death for us is a passing to glory with Christ. It's the second death that people really need to fear, and we have no fear of that. We will live forever in communion with God. Forever in communion with God. And that is not empty. That's not empty promise. Those are not empty words. We're held in Jesus' hand. The Holy Spirit on us is a seal marking us as belonging to God and as a promise to us. Death has no sting. We're free from death. Real death. And we're free from sin and condemnation. If we could learn to recognize that and really know it, I think how much better our lives would be. The more I recognize that I am free from sin and condemnation, I just think the more joy is in my life. Colossians 1 says, once you were alienated from God. Yeah. and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Okay, I mean, you can relate, right? But now he, Christ, has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, that's Christ's death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. See, we're no longer separated from God. We're not separated from God at all. We're holy. We are now and forever set apart for God. Not from God, but for God. Free to live for him. Standing before him without blemish, free from any accusation, free from any condemnation. I mean, think about that, without blemish, right? I mean, how many of you would say you have no physical blemish that you wish to hide? Okay? There is no physical blemish on you. You think physically you are just the perfect specimen of humanity. All right? I'm raising my hand looking for somebody. I'm not saying I am like that. All right? Phil, you think so? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I would agree, but since you didn't raise your hand. You know, I mean, all of us, you remember to suck in the gut a little bit, comb the hair over, a little bald spot, you know, color the hair. And what about, I mean, this entire makeup and beauty industry, right? I mean, we have people making fortunes off the fact that we have things we want to hide. Right? You know, what's Spanx, isn't that the company? You know, they make the shirts that suck in the gut and all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, there's, you know, we have all this stuff. Well, how many of us have never done something horrible? There's no blemish in our history we'd like to hide. Well, in Christ, there is no blemish. And this is neater, this is better, this is more special than like Spanx or, you know, makeup. It's not that Christ hides the blemish. He takes it away. It's gone, right? I don't have to suck my gut in anymore. It's gone. Well, wouldn't that be nice? He doesn't just hide, he doesn't just cover it up, he removes it. I know we struggle with this, okay? We struggle with sin still, and we struggle to forgive ourselves. But we are already without blemish in Christ. You, sitting here, are without blemish. Physically, spiritually, emotionally. I really think part of this life is learning to live out what God has already made us. Learning to recognize and become what God has already made us to be. No condemnation. No accusation. You know, and in all this, we are free to approach God. And of all of our freedoms, I mean, what an amazing one. I mean, God, who has the right to destroy us, he certainly has the power to destroy us. You know, we are free to approach him. Ephesians 3:12. In him, Christ, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. You know, we turned our backs on God, and we deserved severe punishment. But that is gone. We are free from blemish. We are free from accusation. It's real. It is gone. And we can freely, confidently approach God. We can come into a worship service, and we can sing about, take me into the Holy of Holies. Right? I mean, I don't know how often you think of that, the image that is really meant with that. You know, the Holy of Holies was a place in the temple, right? It doesn't exist right now. And the priests would go in once a year. And as far as I can tell from everything I've ever read, they were pretty much scared to go in. You know, they'd tie a rope around their waist or around their ankle that if they died in there because God wasn't happy, someone could drag their body out, you know, and bury it or something. And it was a terrible experience to come before God. Because they're coming in and they know they're blemished and they know that they have all these, they have so much accusation that can be rightfully placed on them. And we're saying, Lord, draw us into the Holy of Holies. You know, we want to be with you like that. And Ephesians tells us we can freely, confidently do that. You don't need a rope tied around your waist. You don't need somebody standing out back holding a rope as you come, you know, in here very carefully, that if you die in the middle of the worship service, they drag your body out. Right? Wouldn't that be a wild worship service? Kind of end worship right there. We can freely approach God. We can love Him and be loved by Him. You know, prayer. You know, entering into God's, obviously we don't need to be in a group to be in God's presence. This is special because we are in a group, but we're in God's presence individually, and we can freely turn to God. You know, Becky and her family is up visiting this week, except for, you know, this weekend they're in Harrisburg, and you know, Becky is always welcome. I'm always pleased to see her. And God is better than that. I mean, God is better than me. We are always welcome with Him. He is always pleased to see us. When we are entering into God's presence, we ought to try to picture God that way. You know, oh my, it's like I am so glad you are here. It's like a taste of heaven on earth. We're in God's presence. Yeah, we really do have great freedom. And hopefully today we'll just take it a little less for granted, at least for a couple of hours. Guys, I suspect too, one of the reasons people don't understand Christians, one of the reasons, is they don't understand our freedom. They don't understand how people who are so bad and have done so many horrible things can be forgiven and can be loved and can love each other and can be free from accusation. It just doesn't make sense. You know, we still struggle with sin. We are still too easily tempted. But Jesus is carrying us past that. He's helping us. You know, we're free to dance and rejoice in the presence of God. And even if your body doesn't want to physically dance anymore, you're free to spiritually dance in the presence of God. As dearly loved sons and daughters. Dearly loved sons and daughters. Dearly loved. I mean, seriously. So let's live this life free of sin and death. I think it'd be great for us to honor Christ freely and fiercely. Honor Him in this freedom. to love people freely and ruthlessly, just to really love people. It's our privilege as Christians to be able to do that. And Christ died so that we can. That's how we're going to close the service with communion, remembering that Christ died for this freedom. I mean, he has set us free. Jesus, on the night right before his betrayed, he was there with the disciples and they were celebrating the Passover, and you know, just this situation just incredibly ripe with meaning. You know, this sacrificial lamb to save their lives. And he took bread, saying, "This is my body broken for you." And to think that Christ allowed himself to be killed for our freedom. Not just ours, but ours too. What amazing love, what amazing gift. What an amazing thing to celebrate. If the ushers would please come forward here. When you get the matzah, it is gluten-free, as usual. Go ahead and eat. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Lord God, we give you all honor and all glory. We give thanks that Jesus has bought us freedom. We give you thanks that Jesus sacrificed his life so that we can live. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you. After they had eaten, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant of my blood." We have a covenant, a promise from God of this freedom. And the Holy Spirit is the seal of that on us. And we can know that God has set us free by the death and resurrection of Jesus. When you get the cup of grape juice, if you would please hold it, we will drink it together, signifying the unity that we have in Christ through the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus shed for you. Please stand as we close in prayer. Lord God, we praise you, we honor you. Teach us to use our freedom to live for you, to live in the hope and the joy and the peace that you give us, and to pass that along to a world that desperately needs your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful week.